Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Go behind the scenes of one of TV's most watched true crime series with the 48 Hours Postmortem podcast, where correspondents and producers take you inside each case. Every Monday, listen to a new episode of 48 Hours and then join me, 48 Hours correspondent Anne-Marie Green, every Tuesday for a new episode of Postmortem. Follow and listen to 48 Hours on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Take you guys up until 2. Get to our headlines this final hour, brought to you by Doral Volkswagen, home of the Pricito, our lowest price. Visit us at Doral Volkswagen or DoralVolkswagen.com. Miami Hurricanes hoops start tonight. You can hear that on AM 560 tonight. Jay Lucas era is upon us. Weird not to have a Jim Larrañaga season, yeah?
It is, but...
Excited for Jay Lucas. Just saying it's weird.
It happened last year, so...
No, I understand. I know, but he got, you know, this is his first season coach on the team.
Right.
So, Canes will get going. Let's see. When's that at? That's at 8 o'clock is your tip-off tonight against Jacksonville.
All right.
Is that the Dolphins are taking on? I think so. Either way, 8 o'clock is when it gets going. Heat, they're in action tonight at 10:30 against the Clippers. Waiting official word on Norman Powell, but it sounded like he is going to make his return tonight. Revenge game. You don't miss a revenge game, dude. You don't miss a revenge game if you're Norman Powell. You tell your groin it's time to go.
All right.
That's what you do.
I mean, the Clippers did straight up say, do we want to pay not only do we not want to pay you, we're not even going to entertain that and just trade you in your contract year.
And he said he was shocked. He said he kind of felt like it was a slap in the face that they because he felt like they wanted him around. And he had a really good year last year for them.
Like Leroy said, I did really good. I scored 20 points a game for you last year. We won 50 games. I should be with you, right? Nope.
Well, I think the thing that you also find insulting about it, if you're him, is that you just let him go and they had this plan. We're like, we'll just get Bradley Beal on the cheapskies, baby. And, you know, you're like, okay. You're going to go with Bradley Beal on the cheapskies?
Right. Bradley Beal over me?
Yeah, Bradley Beal over me? Okay, you enjoy it. He has not been very good for them, by the way.
Of course he hasn't.
Surprise.
Not been very
Why
good.
Are you shocked?
No, I'm just saying. Just so we're clear.
Can't wait Monday for Big Mouth Leroy to say swag penalties. Let me know he don't watch the game.
Who's of that?
I don't know. I'm on X. I like peruse.
But there were swag penalties. A lot of them.
I know there were. But that, like, dude, the hardest thing for me is to play this role in what we do while just ignoring the facts of why things happen. Because to explain the reality of why things happen, right, you deal with more backlash because people don't want to hear that, right? They don't want that to be the reason why. And it is what it is. But when you look at the difference between a really good team and a really bad team, here's what stands out. In those crucial moments, in those pivotal moments during the course of a game or a season, right? You start reaching, grabbing, being undisciplined because you're afraid to stay the course. And for whatever reason, every time the Canes the last couple years has gotten to this point in the season, the first time they face any type of resistance, they start playing football like they haven't played all year. So, for whatever reason, I tell you this all the time. One of the reasons why DBs grab, because they can't cover. If you having problems covering the guy in front of you, you grab him. you hold them. If you get beat, you grab them, because 15 yards is a lot worse than a touchdown. So the fact that they can't stay committed to who they are and have faith in what they're doing, and they have to go this route and be undisciplined, it bothers me. And it happens every year about this time, ironically. And it always happens to a team that you're probably not not better than you.
Georgia Tech last year.
Right.
A couple of years back.
So explain that to me.
I don't know.
The only way I can explain it is this. Look at the way and I said this early in the year. Man, look at how college football is going. There's been so many high-ranked teams and so many, you know, unranked teams beating ranked teams. It's crazy, right? College football is crazy right now. Be poised. Stay the course. Look around and see how it is. You're going to have to win some tight games against teams that everybody thinks shouldn't be tight.
I think that's also what's disappointing, is because it felt like the early grasp on the season was that they did stay poised. Because even some of those games that got squirrely, like, they were able to maintain. And, you know, people, to be fair, some had their concerns. I thought they were being a little soft about it, but
right.
Here's where we are. Back, like a tradition unlike any other. We get to November and the Canes sitting here with disappointing losses.
Right. But here's the other thing. It's easy to say how you will react in a certain situation, right? If that situation never presents itself, nobody really knows. We can only just sit here and take your word for it.
Mm-hmm.
But now this is 2 years in a row that this situation has presented itself. And the only thing that gets lost when the times get tough is discipline and things like that.
The thing with last year, though, last year they had a very clear flaw, and it was defense.
Right, well, because they were hurt. Bain was hurt.
Yeah, but just all overall, they couldn't cover anybody. Mm-hmm. They gave up big plays. Like, they had a very obvious flaw on the team.
Okay.
This year, I thought that they put together a more complete team, even if their quarterback isn't better. They had a lot of guys that stood out, and you're like, okay, there's not a unit that really stands out above anything, and you're like, oh, that's a weakness for the Canes.
Right.
Maybe tight end's not as good. I mean, Elijah Lofton, he got the snot knocked out of him in that game. Oh, my goodness. You know? So, woof. But again,
when you talk about the weapons that you have outside, right, it's either or sometimes. Like, do you have enough weapons downfield? Yes. Do you absolutely positively need an all-star tight end? No. Because you have talent in other places.
Right.
So,
but I'm just saying, like, I don't look at the Canes and as we were going through this season, and this is sometimes you can get, I guess, fan goggles on this, is like, I didn't look at the Canes this year and like, man, this is their very obvious weakness. Like, they felt like they had fixed the secondary a little. They felt like the linebackers were playing better. The pass rush was obviously intimidating. The offensive line was supposed to be their bread and butter.
Right.
Yeah, Carson Beck throws picks. You know, that's going to happen, but you know, last year you could get a 21-0 lead and you were holding on to your cheeks because, you know, the defense was so bad.
Right.
And so maybe some more games were squirrely last year because you had to, you know, have some crazy comebacks. But I think if Mario, you asked him, like, he's like, yeah, I've finally put together the team that has it all there. And nope, same issues. Same issues have creeped up on
him. So now my question is, how do you look at that? Do you view that as a coaching thing? Because I think that sometimes it's up to a coach to keep young men focused on task at hand and not get carried away with it, right? And emphasize, okay, we're in a tough spot. We're in a, you know, no mistakes, no jumping off sides. These things. These are the things that are going to get us in trouble. Right. And be very aware of the situation because, well, it's happened to you the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
But it always seems like, you know what? It's easy to hide who you are when things are going great. Right. It's a lot harder to hide who you are when there's difficulty, when there's, you know, adversity. And what we're starting to see is, as we get later on into this season, the last couple years, right? Guys who have been playing out of character all of a sudden go right back into character. And so you need to get across to these young men that, hey, adversity is part of it. You ain't going to just glide right through all these games.
But I think if you were to say, like, what is Mario Cristobal's biggest weakness as a coach? It's when things get adverse.
So he makes a lot of mistakes. They're a reflection of their coach.
Yeah.
Because I got to tell you, and here's, listen, look at the way them damn coaches were acting on the sidelines, yelling at the player when he yelled at, was that the Dolphins?
That was the Dolphins.
They had the same situation.
Ollie Gordon, when he got screwed on that call and the coach was losing his mind.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Like, really? Like, dude, so he should go to Ollie Gordon and apologize. He really should. Ollie Gordon defended himself, though.
Yep.
But, like, so many times in sports, you have those arguments on the sideline when nobody actually knows what happened because everybody's moving a million miles a second. And to sit here and have an argument on the sidelines without anybody, right, really knowing what's going on, you're just trying to save face. So that coach was just trying to say, look, it ain't me. I'm getting on my player. That's it. I would say that's the hardest thing in sports, right? And players will tell you. The hardest thing in sports is not to play well when things are going great. It's to turn it around when things aren't.
Dodgers.
Right? Yeah. His Snell looks weird, doesn't he?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Kind of strange
looks
to
like
him.
He needs some hair or something. Looks like that, but my mama told me to get like that.
Oh, man.
Magic Johnson is always somewhere, right?
Always, dude.
Always.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Go behind the scenes of one of TV's most watched true crime series with the 48 Hours Postmortem podcast, where correspondents and producers take you inside each case. Every Monday, listen to a new episode of 48 Hours and then join me, 48 Hours correspondent Anne Marie Green, every Tuesday for a new episode of Postmortem. Follow and listen to 48 Hours on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Clayton Kershaw look like the guy, the caveman. Kind of looks like the caveman.
The Liver King?
The caveman.
Like from,
remember that commercial?
From Geico?
Yeah. Geico.
Oh, a little bit. Yeah, I can see it. I can see it. This is from Scott Hughes, whose bio says, credentialed men's college basketball reporter. And he's based in Ithaca, New York.
Mm-hmm.
He tweets out, and this is crazy, after a heated verbal altercation with the officiating crew, St. Bonaventure GM Adrian Wojnarowski was just ejected from the venue. Wojnarowski was berating officials from the stands and was forcibly removed by security. A stunning scene here at the Field of 68 event. Wow. Woj bombed out of there. Wow. Somebody goes, the official's identity was just released. It's a picture of Shams.
Dude, you can't. Oh, a Woj bomb. Could you imagine him just going buck wild in the stands?
No.
Just acting crazy.
That's crazy.
St. Bonaventure. Like, yeah.
College hoops. He's getting after it. Also, we have some news on the fight scene locally. It appears like Jake Paul and Gervonta Davis is going to be called off. It appears like it's going to be called off.
Why is this?
Well, Gervonta Davis is facing a civil suit. He is being accused of battery and false imprisonment, kidnapping, and emotional distress of his alleged girlfriend, who I think the suit says worked at Tootsie's, and he apparently
down
went
here?
In there. Yes.
Yeah, the other Tootsies.
Yes. No,
Des Moines, Iowa.
The Tootsies. The Tootsies. And
so now you that day you come on the show and do you become a smartass?
He goes, I mean, that question was
the one in Iowa.
So obviously Gervonta's got a past of this. This is stuff that's really creeped him and followed him around his life. And so MVP, who's putting on the fight, they put out a statement saying they're investigating it. But I don't think they're investigating. I think they're looking for replacement opponents. Okay. And according to Chris Mannix of Sports Illustrated, he says, I'm told it's very likely that Jake Paul versus Tank Davis on November 14th is very unlikely to move forward. Netflix hates bad press and is anxious about the fallout of the civil suit, leading MVP to scour the boxing landscape for a marketable replacement. As SI reported, a formal offer was made to Ryan Garcia for a December date, while undisputed super middleweight champ Terrence Crawford has also been approached. I'm also told Logan Paul's brother, Logan Paul, Jake's brother, was briefly discussed. And another name in the mix, Anthony Joshua, former heavyweight champion.
Oh, my goodness. You know, if hold on. If Anthony Joshua didn't knock him into oblivion, then we know that somebody would have a deal going. Some kind of
you think a wink?
Yeah.
Wink.
Yeah.
Well, he, I will say the last time that he took on a non-boxer, he killed Francis Ngannou.
Really?
Anthony Joshua. Yeah, he killed him. He gave him that 1-2, and Francis got mean. Now, mind you, Francis did beat, I thought that he beat Tyson Fury. Tyson Fury, though, did not look like he trained at all for that fight. Got knocked down and then didn't really want to engage. Anthony Joshua's promoter, Eddie Hearn, he said to Sports Illustrated, quote, we're available. If you're asking me, do we take the fight? Of course we take the fight. It would be a nice way to end the little journey. Does Jake Paul really want to fight Anthony Joshua? He's a crazy guy. Maybe he thinks he can catch AJ on the fly. Hasn't really been in training camp, but should the opportunity present itself, it would be a huge fight. Never say never. So it does, but it does sound like we're moving towards that fight next week. It was supposed to be next Friday, I think, right, at the Kaseya Center.
Mm-hmm.
I heard sales were not great for it, by the way. That there were a lot of unsold tickets for it.
Really?
Yeah. That it wasn't doing well. I think because people don't believe it. You know,
to be real. Little guy versus big guy.
I think Jake Paul versus a heavyweight, I think that would do numbers. I think that would be.
I mean, first of all, Rocky fought Thunderlips.
Yeah. Well.
That sold out.
That was cross fight, though. You would imagine. You know, that was wrestler versus boxer.
Not even real wrestling.
But, it appears that we're heading towards that fight getting the axe.
Of course we are.
So,
the fight game.
Gervonta Davis.
This is, if there's one thing I hate about the fight game, is when it gets to about a month before the fight or 2 weeks before the fight, you got to cross your fingers to hope that it's going on. That it's going to happen, right? This is not just with these fights. All fights, all MMA fights, right? There's a chance that even though even though the fight sounds good, there's a chance something could happen.
Schmeathen Schmolik says, hell of a sport you chose to cover there, Chunks. You're a real bastard, Schmeathen. You want to know something, dude? I'm sorry. Yes, I understand. The fight game can have some seedy characters, but you want to know something? There's a lot of great people in fighting, too. You know, I met so many great people in Nashville. It was actually kind of part of the gig that sucked because, you know, you meet these good people and then one of them gets knocked out. You feel terrible for him, Dan Day.
I see.
My guy, big sexy Billy Swanson, he got knocked out of the main event. And he was so confident all week. And he's like, I've never trained this much. I look fantastic. They got a picture of me when I was real fat. I'm not fat anymore. And he did. He looked really good for what he was in the pictures. Got knocked out in 15 seconds. He got knocked out by gold medalist Gable Stevenson, who was the main event. And let me tell you something. This Gable Stevenson, who's going to go to the UFC. The UFC's matchmaker was ringside Leroy. Mm-hmm. Knocked him out in 15 seconds. He's for sure going to the UFC. He's being trained by Jon Jones.
The guy that got knocked out in 15 seconds?
No, the guy who got knocked out.
Okay, I was going to say that.
Let me tell you something. This guy, he knocked this guy out in 15 seconds, and I felt terrible because Billy Swanson, great dude. I really like getting to know him this week. Gable Stevenson's knockout wasn't even the most impressive part. he leapt over the ring post like a frog. And I was like, oh my God. He like, that dude's an athlete for his size. 6'1", 250. Phew. He's like a D lineman. It was very impressive.
It doesn't take much.
Dude, it was impressive. I'm telling you. That's not nothing.
So that was an uppercut guy.
No, that was the uppercut. The uppercut guy was Jaleel Willis. He's from Memphis.
Let me tell you.
That was impressive.
Dude, he couldn't put his arms down fast enough to catch this ball. He was like,
that was scary.
He knocked foam out of his mouth.
That's another guy that I met, Peter Stanoe. He's a nice guy, and then I see him. He's got foam coming out of his mouth. I'm like,
that's the crazy. Like, crazy. Man, if there's one thing that amazes me about the fight game, all the trash talking that is talked before a fight, for you to go in that ring and get knocked out till tomorrow, like, man, I say, like, we're going to have a different conversation. You know, we can't make eye contact for a while.
It was something.
Did you mush the fighters in Nashville?
Well, I met them all, so I can't mush everybody.
Right. No, so other than that, what was your other good – what other good meals did you have? You got there Tuesday, right?
Yeah, I got there Tuesday. What other good meals did I have? I had this place, The Row, is my favorite place to eat because they had good barbecue.
They had a pork on a pancake?
Yeah, it was such good pork. It was really good.
Really?
Then they
I'm
had
not a pork guy. I just like the ribs. But other than that,
you know what?
I don't like pulled pork.
Really?
Not my favorite.
Really?
Yeah.
Thought I knew you.
No, I don't. You've never seen me eat pulled pork.
You like pulled pork, Dande?
Yeah, I like everything, man. Yeah, of course. Right? Whether it's on a sandwich, whether it's all by itself, next to some potato salad.
Let's be clear. He's from Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
And a whole bunch of pushaways going on in our state. So I'm going to say that. I'm a little bit more picky of an eater. Mm-hmm. That's probably why I'm the smallest person in my family. Because I was a little more picky. But, yeah, I never had, like, pork. And keep in mind, this is a weird thing now. Poor people used to get them big, gigantic brontosaurus ribs, the beef ribs, with hardly no meat on them.
Mm-hmm.
So as I moved on and went up north and into Houston and places like that, pork ribs. So then you get to St. Louis, you get your baby backs. And so I've always been a fan of that.
Baby back.
But I don't like pulled pork. Mm. I've made it. Remember when I made my my own McRibs.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are delicious.
You do good on that.
Yeah.
Then there was one guy, Brian Battle, won in the co-main event because the other guy didn't know the rules. Like, he was going to win anyway because he knocked him down. But he forgot that there was ground and pound. I think because he just came from bare knuckle. Because bare knuckle, you can do a standing eight, which means you can take a knee. You can wait, one, two. And dirty boxing. Follow up. So he's just sitting there. knocked. And then.
Wait. Dirty boxing. Follow up.
Yeah. So he gets knocked down. And so he's like on the knee. And Brian Battle's like, I feel kind of bad about this because he's just sitting there on the knee.
Oh, you don't know the rules.
Boom! Just hits him with a shot. And he's like,
so, hey, that's what happens when you sign up for all these fights and you don't know the rules.
I think that's what happens. You forget what sport you're in.
Oh, my goodness. So you got here it comes. So when you sit there and go, oh, no, the follow-up, here it comes.
Oh, man.
Follow-up, here it comes.
It was a great time.
So do they wear gloves for dirty boxing?
Yeah, they wear gloves.
Little gloves?
A lot of guys like that they wear gloves because they're like, man, I tell you, because a lot of them have done bare knuckle, and they're like, I'll tell you something about bare knuckle. Hurts.
Yeah, that's say it hurts for the puncher more than the guy that.
Yep.
Because if you hit with a bare, you got to hit with the flat part.
Yeah.
Because if you don't hit, oh.
They very much enjoy having the gloves back on. But that was crazy. He's like, he's just kneeling. And the follow-up shot. No!
You named it appropriately. He goes, dude got hit, took a knee, but he wasn't aware of the follow-up.
Well, yeah, people were getting mad at the ref. They were getting mad. They're like, I'm like, the ref isn't supposed to, he can separate them, but like it was a weird, you're supposed to have 5 seconds. If you earn a knockdown, you have 5 seconds to follow up, and the guy's either going to call the fight or he's going to let the guy stand back up. He hit him with, boop, it was over.
It wasn't outside the 5 seconds.
No.
It was like right away.
No, but it kind of felt slow motion, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Fee and fees apply. In app only.
Go behind the scenes of one of TV's most watched true crime series with the 48 Hours Postmortem Podcast, where correspondents and producers take you inside each case. Every Monday, listen to a new episode of 48 Hours and then join me, 48 Hours correspondent Anne Marie Green, every Tuesday for a new episode of Postmortem. Follow and listen to 48 Hours on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
By the way, the Woj story was fake. I got sentled.
What Woj story?
They're getting forcibly removed. They've come out and denied the story. I apologize. Sounded too good to be true. I'll take my minus one.
No, it's too late. The damage is done.
Minus one.
Wow. You can't. Listen. You're supposed to be our leader. I'm supposed to fall for stuff like that. Not you.
You seem legit.
What was this?
For deception.
What was the guy's name? I forget.
Yeah, okay.
I lost it.
No, you don't want to read it.
No, I'm going to find it. I'll find it. It's got a lot of retweets already. A lot of people fell for it. Here, Scott Hughes. It's already got 1 million views on this tweet. After a heated verbal altercation with the officiating crew, St. Bonaventure GM Adrian Wojnarowski was ejected from the venue. Somebody then finds out and they said, just got multiple texts about this at the half. Can confirm Woj is good. And he has a picture of Woj in the stands. Just being normal.
Oh, basketball. Not even football.
Yeah, no, basketball. He's the Bonnies.
I respect RVA Richie. I expect that from Leroy. You know what?
I took my minus one like a man.
I was thinking too, RVA Richie. I expect that from me. I can fall for it.
I never heard of him before. Usually I know the parody accounts.
It kind of makes me not want to repeat anything I read on Twitter.
You shouldn't.
Until I first, call Tobin and ask him if it's true. But you falling for it.
Another says, I asked Field of 68 co-founder if this really happened. Quote, no, of course not. He has been sitting behind the bench and he hasn't spoken a word to the official the entire game.
Oh, no.
Wow. All right. My all right. It goes to Jaime Jaquez Jr. Just a good start to the
good
season.
Start.
Even
good
with the losses.
Good start. Good
he's
start.
Been playing great basketball. Yep. So I'm happy for Jaime. I also want to give an all right to our guy, Miggy Rowe, Miguel Rojas, cool. For his big tater tot in the World Series.
Hey, I was right. The only one yelling at the TV. Former Marlin!
My oh no goes to the Dolphins, specifically new GM. There's no winning for you, apparently. You know, if you sell everybody, people are going to be mad at you. I say, champ, do whatever you got to do, dude. You know?
Yeah, but they're not going to get rid of everybody.
You better get me a first-round pick for Patrick Paul to prove me right. What do you got?
So, my all right, I was going to give it to Miggy also. But I'm going to go ahead on and say I've seen some pretty incredible football this past weekend. So besides my teams losing, the Browns didn't lose. They were bye week. It was like football has been entertaining because you never know what's going to happen. I've warned about this all year. It's just one of those years. Just sit back and enjoy it. It was cool. It was fun. That Cincinnati, the end of that Cincinnati, who they play Cincinnati?
Bears.
Bears game was bonkers, including those ugly-ass try-to-go-old-school leather helmets but paint leather helmets on the regular helmets. Yeah, you're phonies. So that gives my all right. Sports all was right. Just awesome this weekend. My own no. Like, I don't know how to say this, okay? But you.
Why?
Because you're being unreasonable with how you want things to happen from here on out for the Dolphins. And I think that you got to be real about it so these dummies out there don't just think, oh, we can do it this way.
Why, you think
I don't care.
Influence?
Just get somebody else. I don't care. Just get some. That's not how you
I
do it.
I just want to go fire, trade.
But there's got to be some reality to it because you know that that's not how it works. You got to know that more than anybody.
It should work like that.
It doesn't. You know that.
I
that's why I'm giving it to you, because you know better. And you're still out here with this. So now, soon as I leave this building, people are going to yell at me, fire everybody!
They're almost there.
No, they're not.
One more guy.
You're going to keep Achan. You're going to keep Patrick Paul.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to keep Waddle. Right?
Look, I'm not saying you have to actively even shop them. But maybe you throw it out there. Maybe somebody comes in.
Who on this team's worth a first rounder?
I gave you my guy, Patrick Paul.
The guy who's played the least amount of football of all of them.
Valuable position, has had a good year.
It doesn't matter. Yep. Dude, you're giving up a first rounder for somebody who played. If your team did that, you'd want that guy fired right away.
If I lost my left tackle, I wouldn't. Got to risk it to win the biscuit, dude.
What are you risking?
First round pick late.
You think he's better than a first round late pick?
Yeah, I do.
Then why would you trade to get a pick that's late in the first round?
Because there's no use for him right now. This team stinks.
How are you going to fix it if you get rid of one of the staples?
Got to reset the clock.
Are you ready to reset that clock?
I am.
You sound 100%
ready. I am ready to reset the clock, dude.
You want to reset the clock?
Yep.
Are you going to be patient with it?
I've been patient.
No. We're here now.
I got a black belt in patient.
We're here now. How long do you think it's going to take to turn around?
I told you, 3 years. How many times are you going to ask me that?
Because I don't believe. You've been complaining about the last 20. Wait.
Did he ask me that today? How many times did he ask me that?
You know why, Dan Day? Can I tell you why? Because let me tell you what part of this doesn't make sense. You start the conversation by saying, I've been patient for 20 years, right? And then I ask you, how long do you think it's going to take to turn around? 3 years.
Yep.
Really?
With the right guy. You got the wrong guy.
Who's the right guy?
That's a good question. I don't know. That I don't know.
Okay. So.
I don't have an answer for you there.
You don't have an answer for anything. You're just going to shoot that
damn. Gruden.
Not Gruden.
Not
right.
Gruden. Right. Not him.
Right.
Dan Day, what's your all right? No, no.
I'm going to go with my all right, Brad Marchand.
Yeah.
Got the first goal and the last goal of the win against the Dallas Stars this coming Saturday, but it wasn't just any goal. One of his very close friends' daughters, young daughters, died earlier in the week.
Yeah.
So he got the first goal pointed up to the heavens. And then when no one wanted to make a goal in overtime, no one wanted to make a goal in the shootout, Brad Marchand got the puck, and you knew, lights out. And that's why I wanted to give him my all right.
He is awesome.
He is awesome.
He is awesome.
And for my oh no.
Oh, no.
Enter Miami. They've got me scared.
What? They're going to do it again?
No.
Please. Last year.
When is game three?
I got to look that up, man.
This series has gone on 3 weeks.
We like to call the Pinks soccer crystal ball.
Saturday at noon.
Yeah. Oof. They played a game a week.
Yeah.
3 weeks for the first round?
Yeesh.
There's no sport in the world that lasts 3 weeks.
Well, you could have done it in two if you would have taken care of business.
Yeah.
Last year, remember, they won the first game against Atlanta United, lost the next two. This year, they beat Nashville in the first one, lost over the weekend 2-1. Now, Saturday at noon, hopefully history
they play at home, right?
Itself. Yeah, they're at Chase Stadium.
Okay.
Why is he giving me a minus one? D-Rup? Because I called them soccer crystal ball?
Ooh.
The Pinks.
Why are they soccer crystal ball? They just got a new coach, didn't they?
Get to the playoffs, and they choke in the first round. Yeah, that's fair. Crystal ball can't even get to the playoffs.
Okay. Have they ever even been in the ACC championship?
No.
Nope. They had the 1 year where they forfeited it. You know, they forfeited the right.
But
why?
Yeah, sanctions cloud, all that nonsense.
Oh, so they did it themselves before.
Yeah, that's not nice. That's on us.
Okay.
That's on us.
Great. All right, so
they've never been peacocking.
I mean, baby steps. You can't win a national championship if you don't first get to the ACC championship.
I never thought I would have lived to see the day where a Canes football team could struggle to even make it to a conference championship, and the basketball program made Final Fours.
Yeah. The Jacoby Brissett era has begun.
Huh?
Jacoby Brissett's playing tonight.
I just read a thing that just says Marvin Harrison Sr. tees off on Cardinals offense. And I was like, he speaks?
Oh, yeah. Dude, not much. He just got inducted to the Hall of Fame. And you can see he doesn't talk much.
Well, his son.
His son is much bigger than him, too, which is weird, right? His son's a giant compared to him.
He said on the offense, he said, quote, it's very hard for me to watch, and you can quote me on that. The style of offense that I'm accustomed to and I'm used to watching as a professional, as a wide receiver, I just can't relate to watching that current offense and that style. Basically, I can't relate to what goes on there. Jeez.
Part of the problem is that he's run, like, I would say back when he played, you had to be smarter at every position because there were a lot of on-the-go kind of adjustments, right? Like, you would run a route. If this coverage was out there, you would just alter your route, and everybody was always on the same page. The problem with the football that his son plays, right, is that they're running a lot of that stuff, but it doesn't involve him because he's not that throw the ball quick, break tackles, go up the field kind of guy. And they don't really design any type of offense to get his son open.
D-Rup says you're getting God again. I'm not. I'm reading this from ESPN. I swear to God. Not reading this off Twitter.
Yeah, because Marvin Harrison does not talk. He really doesn't.
Crazy, man. Oh, man. All right. Got to get some coffee in me. I got the heat tonight.
Oh, you staying down here? Are you?
Yeah. No. Nobody's at 10:30. 10:30 tired.
Oh, you got, all right. Yeah.
Not doing anything. I'm just regularly watching it. I got to, you know, fuel up on some.
Getting back into it.
Yeah, getting back into it, dude. All
right.
But I'll say we need this win, dude. I can't suffer an 0-4 trip. You know, that's going to send me to drink.
Well, you ran out, didn't you?
Me too.
I got a little bit.
You should have picked up some. You were in the home of the whiskey.
I should have. You're right. That's a bad job by me.
Bad job by you.
It's a bad job, I mean, but I was busy. I was doing things.
You weren't busy all day.
Tell you what, I got rooked on was those hotel. We had some post event beers, and they hit me for $10 a pop on those cans.
Where?
At the hotel.
Yeah.
Because all the bars were closed. By the time
was it that late?
It wasn't that we were late, but we weren't at Broadway. We had to go back to the hotel. The hotel's near Vanderbilt. And there really is not that much there by the time you get to midnight. So then we were just like, all right, I guess we'll just drink these hotel beers. And man.
Hotel beers. Oh, in the
room. Yeah, they had like a little nook where they sell the beers.
Oh, not even good beers, just regular Bud Light.
I had some Tennessee brew. It was potent.
Oh, at least that.
Did you start shadow boxing?
No.
That's Dan, that's the level of drunk that I need to know.
No, what I did was.
Did you have a little buzz? Was there shadow boxing? No shadow boxing. We're good.
All right. We'll talk to you rascals tomorrow.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Go behind the scenes of one of TV's most watched true crime series with the 48 Hours Postmortem podcast, where correspondents and producers take you inside each case. Every Monday, listen to a new episode of 48 Hours, and then join me, 48 Hours correspondent Anne-Marie Green, every Tuesday for a new episode of Postmortem. Follow and listen to 48 Hours on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.